He's sending me the link for the show that I'm going to be on in 2 hours. All right, something just happened there.
Okay, Joe, we are live, though.
Yeah, we're live.
Okay, so we are live. This thing's, I don't know. This has been acting up a little bit. My camera actually went haywire on me the last time we were on here. And it switched settings on me completely. So I was like, just kind of freaked out about it. We are live. We are on tonight with a couple of ladies from Elite Vixen Paranormal. Hi. You are muted, by the way.
Hi.
We have Chanel, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And Rachel.
Correct. Hi.
It is nice to meet you all. Usually what I do when we start with new guests that we haven't interviewed before, I will ask a simple little question, and you can pick whoever wants to go first. But basically, I ask about you and what got you into this. So, and it's for the viewers out there. So, again, what got you interested and started in the paranormal, and about when? So, either one can go first.
Well, I'm Chanel, of course. So what actually got me interested in the paranormal was I grew up in like a haunted house, and I didn't realize what it was until I was like almost 18, and grew up having experiences and just never really knowing. And when I turned 18, this is going to age me a little bit. You know, like I had started watching like the, you know, the ghost hunting shows, like Ghost Hunters. And I started putting like two and two together. And I went to my dad one day and I was like, "Dad, is our house haunted?" And he was like, "You know, I'm going to tell you what my mother told me growing up, because my house in Pennsylvania, where I'm from, where my dad's house, we're the second family that's ever like lived in it. And it was built in like the 1850s, the 1870s, something like that. And so a lot of residual family energy." And, he's like, "I'll tell you the same thing my mother told me growing up. Like, if you leave them alone and they'll leave you alone." And I was like, "Oh my God." And so for me, that got me hooked. And so I've been researching the paranormal for about the last 20 something years, essentially. I've been a field investigator for the last five, a little cool. Over five, almost six.
And Rachel.
Okay, yeah. So what got me started was I had some experiences as a child. One was just seeing what I thought was my grandfather right after he passed. And then another happened when I was around 15 or 16, when I was in a location that was reportedly, it was a friend's house, but it was reportedly haunted, and I got touched there. So after that, I think it kind of like spearheaded me wanting to know more about like what the experiences that I've had in my life. And it wasn't until about a year ago that I actually started investigating with Elite Vixen Paranormal. So I'm a newbie on the team, but I definitely have had like the passion and drive to do it many years. It was just hard with a, you know, family and living in California. It wasn't until I came out here that I found my family that is kind of like my home away from home.
So you're in Tennessee now?
I am. Yeah. I'm in Nashville.
Okay. So whereabouts in Cali?
I lived and grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area.
I am originally from California. I was born and raised out there.
Nice.
Where I was 21 miles south of Fresno.
Okay.
My dad was a rural carrier of a little town called Layton, California. 1,800 people in the town, about 3,500 people on the outskirts area of the town. And we lived on the outskirts area of the town, about 4 miles outside of town. So,
wow, yeah, small town.
And that's kind of where I got my start with all this too, because I started when I was 15, and I guess between the age of 13 and 15, I really started getting into the occult and the Wicca and stuff like that. So I've had plenty of experiences myself. So what's the strangest experience you guys have ever had?
Jeremy?
I think that strange is like subjective. Don't mind the child in the back seat.
There's a couple of children in the back.
There are two, yes. One that is just making herself at home and the other one's right behind me. sorry for that, guys.
Don't apologize.
I think the strange is like subjective. So I've had a lot of like interesting experiences, but okay. I'm very open-minded. So to me, it's not necessarily strange, you know? So, but I've had,
I suppose I could have phrased it a little different. I guess let me rephrase it for you then. What's your most exciting experience you ever had?
Oh, I'll tell you about one of my, most exciting. So I'm a little bit like empathic, and I actually identify as an intuitive empath. And I was at the Scott County Jail, actually, with one of my dear friends in the field.
I know that place.
It's awesome.
Owned by Miranda Young and Dr. Christy Sumner.
So I was out there, and we were doing the Estes method, and I was on Estes. And this, the first time that this has ever actually happened to me on an investigation, I was listening, or I was getting like this female voice through the, through the earphones, and she was being overpowered by like a male voice, and this male voice was just very like angry, and I could tell that like he was silencing her. And so I was feeling like her emotions during this Estes method. And so I ended up actually like getting affected to the point that I like ripped the headphones off, and I looked at my friend Vicky, and I was like, I'm gonna cry, I have to get out of this building. And I had to go out of the building and just kind of like ground myself and all of this, because I could feel her emotions so much that it affected me. And that's the first time that I ever had that happen. So that's one of my like coolest experiences to date.
Interesting. What about you, Rachel?
I would say mine actually probably goes back to when I was in California, and I went, my husband and I went on the Winchester Mystery House, and they had us, we had been quite a number of times. And so they invited us to do a behind the scenes tour that before they were going to actually put it out. So it was kind of like a beta behind the scenes tour.
Mm-hmm.
So they only invited a small group of people, and we were going to locations in the house where they hadn't taken the public before. And one of them was in a very top room. It looked very, kind of attic-y. And I walked in the room, and everything started to really spin on me. And I had to get out of the room. And I stood on the outside of the room because I wanted to hear what the room was and what it was all about. And I just kind of leaned, into my husband as I was listening to it. And they actually said that they believed that was her seance room. So she had a couple of them, but they said that was her main one. So I thought that was really, really interesting that I was feeling that way. But it made a lot of sense to me after they said that.
Interesting. So, how often do you try to get out and do investigations?
We try to get out about once a month. That's always been like the goal, but it always doesn't like work out that way. You know what I mean? Because we all have like lives. But that's like the goal is once a month. Yeah. Sometimes we tend to get out a little bit more because like we'll also do some collaborations with other teams and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, the objective is always like once a month.
Didn't work out too well for us at all last year like that. We didn't get out that often.
Well, and no. I think that, like, COVID kind of affected that. Like, because we were able to investigate a lot more pre-COVID. Post-COVID, I feel like that, you know, because everything changed, including the field. And so I feel like that mm-hmm. is, like, a big factor.
Well, COVID had an impact on us as well because Joe is he's immune deficient.
I was diagnosed December 4th, 1995 with AML leukemia. And I died like 4 or 5 times. They had to bring me back, you know, and all that stuff. So, but my immune system is compromised.
Yeah.
So in the wintertime, I kind of hibernate anyways. But when that came out, I was told I wasn't to leave my house. You know, my wife and Mark both were saying, "You ain't going out nowhere."
Yeah, you know? We weren't going to take a chance. We don't, you know, we didn't need him getting bad sick or anything. So we kind of poured our energies into doing more interviews and
COVID was kind of a blessing in disguise because it opened up the door to the StreamYard and being able to do this. Mm-hmm. But it also closed the doors because Mark had a super interesting location. We were supposed to do it just before COVID hit and closed down much of the state and the campus area. And it's like, damn it.
But I still have that in my back pocket. That is still a particular spot that I can actually activate and get us going on it. We just got to figure out a date and time to be able to do it. But yeah, it's the old Children's Hospital up in at the campus here in Madison, Wisconsin. It's one of the study buildings now, so it's a nutritional science building. But it was the old Children's Hospital that started out that way. And then it's also connected through tunnels to the original University Hospital, which still has an active morgue because that is also a medical sciences building where they teach the students how to do the autopsies. So I've been working on trying to get us in that one too.
Yeah,
that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, we have a rich history up here, just like you guys do. You I know you guys down there in Tennessee have one hell of a history. So, where are some of the places you've been to? I heard you, Chanel talked about the Scott County Jail. So, what other places down in that area or any other area?
We have been as far south as Mississippi.
Okay.
And then we go into Kentucky often. So our paranormal home away from home, Octagon Hall, we're there all the time. I might stop by tomorrow just to go say hi. you know, sometimes like when you visit places like that, like you could just roll up and be like, what's up? So that's, for me, that's my paranormal home away from home. We've been to OSPH. We've been to... like I said, multiple places in Kentucky, Octagon Hall, Wheeldon Manor, when that location was a location, it's no longer a location. The building got to be it needs a lot of work to the point that it's
too unstable.
Yeah, too unstable. And even when we were there, which this was years ago, the roof was like, like we had to find like a disclosure, like, hey, by the way, our roof's caving in, there's lots of asbestos, so just forewarning you. And we're all like, okay, cool, we're not worried about that, we'll just go investigate. But yeah, Wheel to Mariner, we've been to the Old Stone Jail in Franklin, Kentucky. We've been to Lynchburg, Tennessee at the Old Moore County Jail and the Lynchburg Haunted Home. We've been there multiple times. We stay relatively local, and of course, Scott County, within like a 3-hour drive. Mm-hmm. I consider that local. But this year we're hoping to, you know, branch out a little bit further.
Yeah, we're
like the Thomas House and the Caldwell House and some other quite a number.
I'm glad you can remember what I forget.
That's why we're a good team.
That's right.
Okay, here's a question for you. I want to see if you guys get this correct. What's your best and favorite piece of equipment you use when you go into investigations?
I can go first and say probably myself is the biggest and best equipment. I think that, you know, we have a lot of our senses that do just as well as any electronic device we can use. So I think we all have it on the team. We all have gifts in it. And it definitely, you know, shows itself and it pays off a lot of times because we can, you know, quite a bit often like back up those experiences with equipment. So.
My favorite piece of equipment, I do love a good trigger object. I agree with Rachel though, that like your body is your best piece of equipment. But I do love a good trigger object. And of course a voice recorder, like the classic voice recorder.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, Rachel was correct. The very first piece of equipment that you need to worry about is yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then the rest of it's just add-ons, which I absolutely love myself. I have thermal. I have a body camera, which that was because of something that happened to him on an investigation. That's why we got body cameras now. And my voice recorder and my regular camera.
You got to learn as you go, I guess. You know, that's all part of this, because it just goes to show you got to be prepared at all times. That's why the body camera. We were in an old what was that, a flour mill?
There's an old flour mill,
And then a flour mill, but anyways, it had some history. And I was just walking down with another person that was there with us that actually got us into the building. And we were walking outside to have a smoke, and there was a set of three lights in the hallway, and they're all connected. So if you turned on the switch, all three lights would come on at once. Well, we're walking down the hallway just chatting, and next thing I know, the middle light bulb flashed on all by itself. And all three of them should have came on together. So that's unusual by itself too.
Yeah, all three of them should have came on together if the switch had been.
But I was like, nobody's going to believe us. We get upstairs and they're not going to believe us. And then, we went and decided to get body cams after that.
Yeah. So that's why sometimes, you know, some of the footage from our stuff, I have body camera. But so what kind of experiences have you guys had? Do you ever experience things before you get your equipment ready?
Oh yes, multiple times. One time, one of the ones that really stands out the most to me, and I've talked about this experience a couple different times, it's like me and not my stepdaughter that's on my team now, but the other one. So now on my team, my stepdaughter Abigail's on the team, but her sister Augusta, my other stepdaughter, was on my team. And she said, you know, she's, Gus left the team because, you know, she had a baby. So, priorities.
Definitely.
And so,
Yeah. So we were actually up at the hall, at Octagon Hall. It was just the two of us. We had just gotten the keys from, I think, like Mike or Bear, whoever was up there that day. And we're there. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're busy setting up our DVR system. And I hear singing. And Gus was upstairs. Like I was on the main, there's three levels to Octagon Hall and then an attic. And so I was on like the main level. She was upstairs on like the second level setting up cameras. And I hear this singing and I like yell up the stairs. I'm like, hey, Gus, are you singing? And she was like, no. But it was literally like somebody was in the very next room next to me singing. And of course, at that time, like we have no equipment set up, no voice recorders running, nothing, which is the way it goes, you know, but that was one of the most like, oh my God, like experiences that I've had, like without equipment and everything running.
Yeah. So Rachel, this is a little off of the paranormal subject. How long you been collecting comic books? I'm sitting here; these things are staring me down.
For quite a while, but I think like recently I've been able to find a lot more of them. Sometimes I think they find me, but. You know, I've been able to find them at flea markets, and there's a store out here called McKay's, and they often have a whole, you know, comic section. So yeah. I've been able to find some there, but yeah. So it's not only this wall, but it's like I have the wall in the hallway.
you're telling me those are like your crystals. you go somewhere and they find me.
those ain't the normal everyday comic books you would think of. I mean, you don't see Superman, Batman, or I mean, you've got Tales of the Crypt, and you've got all these, you know, very unique comic books. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yes.
She's got the shadow as well.
Yep, I got even the Dark Shadows from that, where Barnabas Collins, like from the.
Yep, like... I know that. My mother used to watch the stinking soap opera.
Yeah, it's been very popular, and we actually have like on another side of me is that we're trying to open a brewery out here in Nashville, so it's called Dark Shadow. Brewing. Oh, that's cool. So that's why, another reason why I collect some of the Dark Shadow comics. So
that'd actually be really cool.
Yeah.
So what's on your agenda now for you guys? Where are you trying to get to and do some investigating at?
Well, our first two investigations of this year in January and in February both got canceled because of weather. We had a real bad snowstorm come through Middle Tennessee and Tennessee and Kentucky.
Everywhere.
They're
in Wisconsin, though. So.
What do you consider a bad snowstorm?
Here where I live, so I actually live in Murfreesboro. Rachel lives in Nashville. In Murfreesboro, we got about 7 inches.
That's what we got here, too, in Nashville.
Yes.
They shut the whole state of Tennessee down for that.
They did.
Yes. And they did. Yeah.
Even if there's a dusting of snow, everything. It's like Texas. Everybody's like, they get about an
inch, they'll shut the whole state down. It's like, hell, we're from Wisconsin. We can drive in this. Yes. We've seen worse. Well,
right, and I get that, too, because I'm from Pennsylvania. So, like, when I'm like, I'm not leaving my house, you know, and everybody's like, but you're from Pennsylvania. You should know how to drive in this stuff. Yeah, I used to, and then I almost, like, died driving in a blizzard. So, things change, right?
Well, also, yeah, but also the smart... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, also, not, it doesn't matter how I drive, it's how the other people drive. It's the crap out of me.
For sure.
Yeah, you're never worried about how you're going to drive. You're always worried about how that other person in that car.
Yes.
Or head behind your neck with me, like Rachel here. I'm from Cali. But I learned how to drive in the ice and snow in the mountains, the Sierra Nevada mountains of Cali, where if you screwed up, you were done.
Yep.
1,000-foot cliff, you're off.
Was that going to Tahoe or like?
No. Kings Canyon National Park.
Okay. Is that more centrally?
Yeah, it's outside of, to get there, you can go up through Fresno, or you can go up through Visalia.
Okay.
And we always went up through Visalia. And then after we pass Hospital Rock, that's the section up there that's just, it gets crazy. It's all switchback all the way up. And then the last switchback onto the straightaway, there's no guardrail. It's more of a narrow highway.
That's scary.
You wanna go riding on those roads?
Well, I used to do it. I used to do it all the time.
I just asked that of somebody that's afraid of heights and stuff like that. And just the roads around here, if you get out in some of the country areas, you got the roads with the one or two foot drop off the side, and you got really no shoulder. She hates driving on those. Oh, my wife's sitting over across from me, so so
there she is. she's part of the crew too. She takes her camera. I actually broke down at the beginning of the year and bought myself a Rebel 100, kind of like the one she has. So, and I'm still trying to learn how to use it properly. Because you can get some really interesting pictures too. So, you guys do still pictures as well?
We do those really with our phone. We don't have like a full spectrum camera. We used to, but as equipment goes, it eventually just give up on life. So we actually don't have one anymore. So, but we do a lot of stills on our phones.
Okay. Yeah. And, video cameras, are you using regular video cameras or are you using the video on your phone as well?
Well, we live stream through our phones. But then we have, I think, 8 handheld cameras and a full DVR system.
Damn, Joe, they're ahead of us. We've only got like 3 or 4 handheld cameras.
Well, there's a lot of us 8 on the team.
There's more of them than there is of us right now. And we just added 2. So,
You know.
Jesse's got a camera, at least one extra camera.
Well, Selena, his wife, Selena, has a Rebel as well. Kind of like the one that Tanya and I have.
Right.
No, it's just that I wanted to get the camera like that so I could actually, because I have a tendency when we go out and do our investigations of going off by myself. I also have a tendency of depending on the energies in the room, if I feel that it's not strong enough for me to really sense well, I'll provoke. And I had that happen a couple of times. I had a bad experience with one time provoking. We were at a very old school investigation, and I went into the back room where most of the activity was, and I provoked, and at that point I had 5 pieces of equipment subsequently fail on me. And I was the only one.
He wasn't able to log into his laptop till he got
I had my laptop with me too. And I used the exact password that I knew it had, and it would not let me log in.
No.
And I tried it four different times. And then when I got back home the following day after I got a little rest, I opened up the laptop. The very first time I type in the password, it lets me in. Right.
The spirit said, you were not allowed. You were done, sir.
Yep.
You were done for that investigation. That's what they said.
Pretty much.
Do you ever look into cryptids?
So I am interested in cryptids. I don't specialize in cryptids. There are others on our teams who like that are on our teams that like are totally into cryptids. And aliens and things like that, like all of the other things that go into the paranormal world realm as well. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm interested in it, but I haven't really dabbled in it. Like I haven't done a lot of research. I've been invited to go on a couple like Bigfoot or like investigations or squatching or whatever it's called. But I've never done that personally. So that's something that in the future I intend on doing a little more research on.
Okay. Sounds like you got an idea there on that.
I don't mind about it all.
But what about it? What about UFOs or aliens? Do you guys ever try to do any like sky watching and stuff on nice days or nice evenings?
I mean, I will do it because it's been kind of a sort of fascination for me. Like I love all things paranormal. we'll do that. Husband and I will do that on our own. We don't do it typically as part of the team. We kind of specialize in the area of spirits or ghosts is okay. What we've been looking for.
So the team as a whole, the Elite Vixens, they stick more towards the spiritual realm. And looking for spirits and evidence there?
Yes.
Okay. And then, so if any of you decide you want to, like Rachel said, with the UFOs or Chanel said with the Bigfoot, then you kind of do it as an individual type group away from Elite.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not opposed to doing it as a team. If that was something that like the team would want to do, you know, okay. So that's not something that's like completely off the table. You know what I'm saying? I just think that like for right now, like we're just really focusing on the spiritual realm. And right. As we grow and as we, you know, do more things, I mean, maybe that'll be in the future.
Yeah. So. You never know. I mean, there's always things that happen to break you off into other parts of it. I've always thought that I was never gonna, you know, really get into this, and then all of a sudden we did.
Yeah, and and we examined it all. I mean, and some things are even outside the paranormal world that we look into, because we've looked into serial killers, conspiracy theories, you know. I mean, the whole serial killer, though, that thing got started as a joke. But some of those fun conspiracy theories, like we did one on Elvis is alive or not type thing, those types of, but I find the cryptids most fun. Because we've got a few interesting ones around here, and we went out to Bray Road, and they have it's called the Beast of Bray Road. Linda Godfrey, a famous author.
Rachel's saying she knows.
Yeah. Wrote about it, and we've been investigating it for what? This will be the fourth year now going there?
Yeah, I believe so.
This will be the fourth year going there when we go in August, if not before. Oh, and we've had some interesting things happen while we were out there, so it's worth going back.
Yeah, there's been a lot of interesting stuff. Yeah, I also got our for Christmas. I got him a drone, and myself a drone.
Yeah, I want one of those.
that we get this place called iBins. The guy, the kid just put it together like at the beginning of the year. Back it up a little, Joe.
Nope, the green screen thing.
The green screen. So the kid, this kid that runs, that owns here, and he gets like Target and Amazon return pallets and brings them in. And I got that for $60.
Oh, wow.
And it's still not open, by the
way.
Yeah,
he hasn't opened it.
We need one of those. We need a connection.
I opened mine and played with it. Now, the fun thing is that...
I told him if I opened it and played with it, I'd have it broken about 20 minutes.
And I told him it's got proximity sensors that will not let you... it will not let you accidentally crash it. You have to purposely crash it. But it hooks to cell phones. It'll hook to a cell phone. And you can use the cell phone as a remote, or you can use the other part, the remote that comes with it. And you can record video and take pictures.
Oh, Chanel.
It gives about a 30-minute, 26 minutes of flight time. And during your flight times, you can take video and pictures with it as well. So.
Yeah, my husband has a drone. He has one of like the DNJ ones he got from Best Buy that's like stupid expensive. And I was like, you just bought yourself a toy, like a toy.
Yeah, well, you know, as men.
Well, it is a toy.
We never grow up. Our toys just get more expensive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, pretty much.
But it was really cool. Like, I can't remember if it was 4th of July or New Year's Eve when, like, everybody's putting off the fireworks. Like, he put the drone up, and I was able to, like, he recorded, like, every single firework going off in Murfreesboro. Three.
We lost your...
Y'all's drone.
There it is. We lost your sound for a second there.
Well, you know, it's because it switched to my car because I had to turn my car on because, you know, the lights were going off. But I was just saying that it was really cool to, like, look at the fireworks. And so I 10 out of 10 suggest trying that with your drones.
Yeah.
Just to see how it goes. Well,
yeah, the cool thing is, though, this one has it has the positioning part for the control that you can have it hover. And actually turn a full 360 degrees.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't think about it until when she was talking about the, recording it on fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
When I went to my son's wedding, Nick, his wife's family owns like a photography studio. So they did all that. But they had drones out there, a couple of them. Mm-hmm. And when the reception came, by the time the reception came, because they had a truck out there, editing truck and everything out there ready to go. So as soon as they got done with that, they showed the footage, and it was just amazing what they got off those drones and how they did that. And it's like, to learn how to do that would be so cool.
Yeah, it is. The only thing is with these drones, though, you got to remember this. If the drone stays under 500 feet flight height, and I think it's under 1,000 feet radius, or 300-yard radius. Yeah, 300-yard radius, so it's 3,000-foot radius. You don't have to have an FCC license to fly it. If it goes over the 500-foot mark, because that's basically your normal radar. You're going to have to get a permit to actually fly that drone.
And then you got to be careful not to go into property that's like forbidden airspace.
Yeah. But they are an interesting tool. And I got them mainly because I wanted to use them on investigations.
You wanted a toy to play with while we were on investigations.
No, I wanted something that I could actually get up above things. And get a down.
Well, you
know,
yeah,
look down on stuff.
Considering the fact that we look more into everything, a lot of our investigations tend to be outdoors, you know, in the summertime. You know, we've gone to cemeteries, you know, and in like the one cemetery, that one that we've been to several times out here in Juneau,
yeah,
Eagle Road Cemetery, that would have been a good place to have that out there. We might have figured out more of where the growling came from.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
It's just a tiny little cemetery in the middle of nowhere. And we heard dogs growling.
My camera keeps buffering.
But there wasn't, you know, houses close by this area that you would have been
close enough, but
you wouldn't, yeah,
don't know.
Yeah, they were coming from right across that driveway, across that street.
You heard
right
one over there. I didn't hear one over there. But on both of the videos that we have, I'm at one end of the cemetery, they're at the other end. It's a good 100 yards probably away from each other. And on both of the videos, there are, like, at the almost exact same spot, there's growling there, or what sounds like a growl. And it's on both of the audio part of the cameras we were using. So that's, again, that brings up another one. So when you guys are out on investigations, do you get collaborating evidence on different pieces of equipment?
Yes, we have multiple times. I remember the one time we were at like the Wright Hotel down in Chatsworth, Georgia. They don't allow investigations anymore. I recently just researched and asked about that. The only location we've ever been able to investigate wearing just our socks, because it was so clean. It was beautiful. And you want to talk about like noise reduction? Investigate in just the socks, y'all. You don't have like all the clouded footsteps of our own. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But we were up in like the attic, and we had our SB11. The temperature gauge was on, and we also had Boo Buddy, and our Boo Buddy is the one that triggers and says all the words, right? The one from like Ghost Stop or Ghost Shop, whichever one. And so if you're familiar with Boo Buddy, he's going to trigger automatically. He's on like a rotating, or he will trigger if like one of his sensors goes off, right?
Right.
So while our temperature gauge is like going crazy on the SB11, Boo Buddy at the same time was saying, did you make it like warmer in here? And at the time of the day that we were there, it wasn't like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, where the attic's gonna be hotter, right? And temperature is gonna be rising in the attic. We were up there at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So the temperature's dropping. And like Boo Buddy is not programmed to say, like, ask about like temperature back to back like that. You know, he's programmed to ask that through the loop, you know, but he'll only ask about the temperature like that if he's triggered. So that was really cool, you know, to have like Boo Buddy over there triggering plus our SB11. Like backing that up as I'm watching the temperature gauge go up, and I'm like, there's no reason why it should be hotter up here. It should be colder. You know, our temperature should be going down because of the time of day. So that was something that was really cool that I can like think of just off the top of my head. But we've had other experiences happen too, where, you know, we'll have like, we'll catch like an EMP and things like that. You know, that'll just like at the same time, like we have cat balls going off, you know, and we'll be asking about like, you know, were you a Civil War soldier? Well, next thing you know, cat ball goes off. Or we had a really cool experience. Also, Rachel, I want you to talk about this one. Yep.
The old stone jail, you were going to say?
Yep. Yeah. Go for it. I want you to talk about that one.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. Where we were up in, it was kind of was it the maximum security part or just regular cells? I can't remember what they called
regular,
it.
I think it was just regular cells, but we were up in the men's
general
cells.
Population.
Gen pop, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in the men's cells.
So we were up there and we were investigating kind of in the walkway in between their cells on on either side mm-hmm. of us. There were Chanel and another of our team member, Raina, and myself there. And we had the spirit box going, and we got some names and things that came out. Don't remember the names of the people, but it was like one of them was a gentleman who was imprisoned there. And then he mentioned something about like his wife being a liar. And what we were able to find out is we were able to go across, because across the street from the old stone jail is kind of the town's history records and everything. So they had all the court cases. We were able to find the gentleman that was imprisoned there. We were able to find like what he was imprisoned for, which I think kind of came up that he had killed someone during the spirit walk session. And so we found the person who he had murdered. And then we also found a connection to his wife. And so then we were able to, once we found those three pieces, we were able to go to the gentleman there at the historical records and give him that information. And I think he was able to pull the whole file, if I'm not mistaken, and he gave it to Chanel. So that was some really interesting, like, detailed corroboration that came over from that spirit box for us to be able to find and actually find the records of what he was saying.
Yeah, I like whenever we're out doing investigations like that, and we'll get each of us will be away from each other, and we'll have our equipment, and we'll get like on one piece of equipment, we'll get something, and then we'll have it verified on another piece of equipment.
Bray Road was a perfect example of that. That night at Bray Road, that we were there with Dale Kazmarek.
Yep.
That. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I have a tendency of also when we're out doing investigations of going off by myself. Yeah, not having anybody with me.
But that night kind of worked out in our favor after it was all said and done.
Yeah, I know.
Because we're out on we got access to property on Bray Road or near Bray Road. And it was dubbed the Skinwalker Ranch of Wisconsin. And we're out there one night with Dale Kazmarek, another guy from Illinois that founded the Ghost Research Society. And he and I were sitting there together talking, and we had a thermal camera on the cornfield that kind of runs right alongside the hayfield property. And what is that, 35 acres?
It's like it's 35, 34, something like that.
Anyway, we got a bipedal figure on the thermal, and his thermal was hooked up to like a tablet, so we had a good sized screen to look at. Meanwhile, Mark's walking down alongside the cornfield.
There's a drive path next to the cornfield that was going down towards a swampy area.
Yeah, so he wasn't even in earshot distance. And we're talking about the bipedal figure and how we lost it. You know, we lost track of it and stuff. And Dale and I, you could hear us saying on our cameras and stuff at our end that we believed that it followed Mark. And meanwhile, he's down there.
Of course.
Go ahead.
Well, no, and I couldn't hear anything they were saying. I was too far away from them. And, of course, I'm walking along, headed towards the swampy area, and I keep hearing what sounds like something walking in the cornfield next to me. So on my audio and my video, the audio from my video and my voice recorder, you can hear me stopping. I'm looking. I'm talking about, you know, to myself, and also because I'm recording it, so you can, so people can hear about something that sounds like something following me, and then I start calling it out. And then after I got down towards the swamp a little bit more, it was getting a little mosquito-y.
That was a nice night that night.
Yeah, it was a very nice night that evening. And it was in the August. And so, you know, it was getting a little mosquito-y out there. And I'm like, damn, you know, they kept getting heavier as I went. So I'm like, okay, I can't handle that anymore. So I turn around and walk back. And then I'm calling whatever is following me out. I'm like saying, come talk to me. You know, just come over, come out face to face. Let me see what you are, who you are, stuff like that. And then as I'm getting closer to these guys off to my left in the hayfield, there's this white something. It was a white figure. It wasn't really huge or anything. It was just kind of small, and it kind of popped up and then darted off. And I was trying to get it on camera, and I didn't get it.
Uh-oh.
It's been doing that all the time. So anyway, so we got collaborating evidence or pieces or stuff on our audios with them talking about losing sight of it, and then me.
Yeah, but we also said that we believed it followed you because the way we lost sight of it.
I know that.
But then it was like a couple hours after all of that happened, we got chased off the land.
Yeah, we're sitting there with all of our equipment out, still recording. We were planning on staying until about 6-7 o'clock that morning. Here it is coming up on almost 2 o'clock, you know, coming up on like 2 o'clock in the morning.
It was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, 3 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, this dense, heavy, wet fog just like rolled in
super fast,
and it was extremely fast. And so, because it was wet, we didn't want any of our equipment getting
damaged,
you know, wet, damaged, or anything like that. So we started putting stuff away. Took us what,
5 minutes tops.
About 10 minutes, I think, is what it really took us. By the time we got done putting our equipment away, taking flashlights to go back where we were sitting up at,
or nothing was sitting on the ground,
to make sure nothing was out, the fog had actually dissipated out. And you could see the lights from the houses across the field again.
It's like, it was like something didn't want us there to be there in the morning. The property owner's got trail cam set up on his property, 5-6 something.
He's
like
got that. He's got seven different trail cams that he owns, and he rotates them out.
Anyway, so most of the activity that he gets to really unexplained pictures usually happen at dawn, like right when the sun was coming up or shortly after.
Yep.
And that's what we were trying to stay for.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to do it yet.
We're going back out there this year, and hopefully things will be a little different. We're going to have more people with us too.
Do they kind of feel like it's a area of like a portal similar to like Skinwalker Ranch?
It's been dubbed the Skinwalker Ranch of Wisconsin, not by me, not by us. It was dubbed by Barnaby Jones. He gets the credit for that one from CAPS. And when we went there, we were just expecting the Dog Man, the Beast of Bray Road, everything.
That, yeah.
You know, all those stories that we got a lot more than what we bargained.
Oh, there's way more there. There is so much more there. And there is a picture that this gentleman will not come off of.
But we've seen it.
And I've seen it. Joe has seen it. Tanya has seen it. I want it. Because it's good evidence. very good evidence.
Well, I mean, but if he's got the good evidence, he needs to release it.
Other people do want to see it, but I'm pretty sure he would like some compensation for it, because, you know, it is off of his property and it is one of his trail cameras. So,
but the fascinating story about behind the guy is when he bought the property, he had no idea what was going on there.
Nope.
He just bought it for the hay, you know, so he could harvest the hay and take it back to the farm in Illinois.
Yep. Him and his wife have a small farm in Illinois where they board horses.
Horses. They board houses.
Not out of my tongue. Yeah, they board horses there, and that's why he bought the property, so he could harvest hay. He gets about 3 harvests a year out of it. So, anyway, so what's next for you guys? We're getting kind of close to the
end here. And where can people find you?
Yes.
So the next thing that we have planned, because like I said, snowpocalypse ruined our 2 investigations that we had in January and February.
Seven.
Snowpocalypse.
Did I hear that right? That is the official term. Snowpocalypse 2024.
That wasn't even really a blizzard. I mean,
y'all should have been up here with us.
That wasn't even a blizzard. I mean, you wanted a blizzard, you got to go back to 1978.
Or 2003, like Christmas Day, that was like a huge blizzard. 2002, 2003, that was a huge blizzard, at least in Pennsylvania. We got like 3.5-4 feet of snow, and it was ridiculous.
There was in the 2000s here, because I've been here since 93. And then I went back to California in 96 and then came back in 98. And during the 2000s, there was one that hit here, dropped 118 inches of snow on
Madison. Yeah, there was a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bus
company. I remember
the bus company, Madison Metro, the city buses in Madison, the capital city, you know, hardly ever. I remember that.
They hardly ever shut down.
They shut down that day completely.
No, they shut down for almost a week because of that.
They were down.
It took them that long to clear it out.
The roads, especially downtown.
Yep. So anyway, let's get back to it. So what's good for you guys?
Well, real quick though, related to that. So in the South, it's not the bus system shutting down. It's the Waffle House. And Waffle House is shutting down.
Yep. Anytime a Waffle House shuts down, you know it's going to be
bad. You know it's bad. But yeah, so as of right now, we do have a couple like collaborations in the works. I'm doing some things with some other teams. So that's, we're looking at right now, we only have something scheduled in May. We're looking to add more, you know, definitely since our schedule has cleared up. But May 18th, we're going to be doing a public event at the Old Stone Jail in Franklin, Kentucky, the one Rachel was just talking about. And then July 6th, we have a Women in Paranormal retreat actually scheduled at the Thomas House Hotel. Those are what we got on the books now, but there's a lot of other stuff in the works. Like my Facebook Messenger does not stop. So just a matter of getting it booked and being mindful, of course, of the weather. That's where we are. But if anybody wants to ever find us, honestly, legit, Elite Vixen Paranormal on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. We own our name. So when you find, so when you look for Elite Vixen, we're the only ones that can have that because we have the copyright.
Cool.
So that's where you find us. If you go to Elite Vixen Paranormal, you can Google us. We're going to pop up. So.
Cool. Anyway, well, it's a couple of minutes here. So Joseph,
next week we have Ghost Sisters on.
Cool.
And then, I'm not sure what else is going on. I think there's something else going on this week, but people know where to find me. You know,
they know where to find us.
I'm all over the place. But our show will have Ghost Sisters next Friday.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having us.
And we're going to call it.
Yeah.
So stay safe, everybody. Have a great weekend. And remember, anything's possible.